Amen. Thank you, Lisa. God bless you. That song is absolutely true in everything that it said this morning, and I'm confident that the Lord spoke to you this morning through that song. If you have your Bibles this morning, let me invite you to find John chapter 12 and verse 37. John chapter 12 and verse 37. In just a moment, I'm going to be reading verses 37 through the end of the chapter, and I want to share a message with you this morning entitled, Will You Believe? Will you believe? Whenever the biblical authors use a word and use it frequently, use it multiple times, use it again and again. When we read God's word, that should stand out to us. That should be significant to us. That should catch our attention because the author is seeking to make a point. And it's this subject of believing that we're going to see this morning here at the end of John chapter 12 and the subject of today's message. I want to show you, before we read the text together, that on eight occasions, not once, not twice, eight times, the biblical author will use this word believe or believes or believed throughout the text. Notice there in verse 37, at the end of the verse, you'll find the word believe. And there in verse 38, you'll find the word believed. And there in verse 39, you will find the word believe. There in verse 42, you will find the word believed. In verse 44, you'll find believes twice. And then in verse 46, believes again. And then in verse 47, believe. So on eight occasions this morning, John the Apostle uses the word believe or a form of it to communicate to us this idea, this thought, this action of believing is significant. It's so significant that it's the difference between eternal life in heaven and eternal life in hell. And my question for you this morning is, will you believe? In just a moment, we're going to be looking at John chapter 12, verses 37 through 50. The end of John chapter 12 is essentially the end of Palm Sunday. As we have begun studying John's gospel, and if you'll remember the beginning of John chapter 12, Jesus came to Bethany on Friday night. It was on Saturday that he attended a dinner, a meal, a reception in his honor at a man's house named Simon the leper. And it was there at that house and a part of that meal that Mary, the sister of Lazarus, in an act of worship, in an act of gratitude and thanksgiving and appreciation, she did the unthinkable. She took a jar of perfume worth a year's salary or wage, and in anointing Jesus' feet, was preparing him for burial. And then she wiped his feet with her hair. That was on Saturday. We've also seen on the pages of Scripture Jesus riding into Jerusalem on what we know as Palm Sunday, where he was declared to be the promised Messiah. And now we come to the end of John chapter 12. And it's going to serve as a transition text, because next Sunday, if you're here, the fifth Sunday of January, we'll be in John chapter 13, and we'll be on Thursday night of Passion Week. So John is going to fast forward. He's taken chapters 1 through 12 and covered multiple years, and then he's going to spend chapters 13 through 21 on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and a little bit longer of the last days of Jesus' life. Now, lest you think that God's word is silent on what took place Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday of Passion Week, it is not. I point you to Matthew chapters 21 through 26. Matthew, the gospel writer, gives us more information and lets us know what is happening on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of Passion Week. But John is going to turn his attention to Thursday. And so I hope that you'll be here for next Sunday morning. But today's text, John chapter 12, beginning in verse 37 and through verse 50, will you believe? And if you are able this morning, will you stand for the reading of God's word? Following along in your copy of the scriptures or on the screens behind me. But although he had done so many signs before them, they did not believe in him, that the word of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spoke, "Lord, who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" Therefore, they could not believe, because Isaiah said again, "He has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, lest they should see with their eyes, lest they should understand with their hearts, and turn so that I should heal them." These things Isaiah said when he saw his glory and spoke of him. Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they believed the praise of men more than the praise of God. Then Jesus cried out and said, "He who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And he who sees me sees him who sent me. I have come as a light unto the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. And if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak." Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for John's gospel. Speak to us this morning, loudly, clearly, plainly. For those who have never believed, Lord, I pray that you would convict them of their lostness, draw them unto you, and give them faith to believe. And for those who have believed, Lord, use your word and your spirit to mold us and shape us more into the image of Christ. We ask and pray all of this in Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. and you may be seated. So this morning, how did these Jews, how did these first century Jews respond to the words and the life and the ministry of Jesus Christ? I direct your attention this morning to verse 37. And I want you to see that some Jews couldn't believe. Let me say that again. Some Jews couldn't believe, could not believe. In verse 37, it says, but although he, that's the Lord Jesus, although he had done so many signs before them. Now remember, Jesus Christ had performed multiple supernatural, miraculous signs, suspending the laws of nature in their very midst. And they were aware of them. If you look back at John chapter 7 and verse 31, listen to the gospel writer. And many of the people believed in him and said, when the Christ comes, will he do more signs than these which this man has done? And then also notice in chapter 11 and verse 47. Then the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered a council and said, what shall we do? For this man works many signs. So it's not debatable this morning that they saw, they witnessed, they could see firsthand all of what Jesus was doing. But notice how John says this. He doesn't just say, although he had done signs. John says, although he had done so many signs. Remember, the Gospel of John is built around, and we've seen this, the seven signs of Jesus being the promised Messiah. Do you remember them? Number one, he changed water to wine. Number two, he healed the nobleman's son from a distance. Number three, he healed the paralytic who had been paralyzed for 38 years. Number four, he fed the multitudes, thousands and thousands of people, with a few biscuits and a few sardines. Number five, he walked on water and calmed the storm. Number six, he healed the man born blind. It wasn't the man's sin, it wasn't his parents' sin, but it was so that Jesus might demonstrate that in fact he was the promised Messiah. And then the seventh sign, the sign of all signs, the ultimate sign, he raised the dead. He brought Lazarus back to life. Lazarus was in the tomb parts of 4 days. And Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. And the dead man walked. You see, they hadn't seen a few signs. They saw many signs. They saw the ultimate sign. But notice the end of verse 37. They did not believe in him. You see, their not believing in him, John understood to be a fulfillment of prophecy. Verse 38, the word of Isaiah, the prophet, might be fulfilled, which he spoke. And John here quotes Isaiah 53. Lord, who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? John understood Jesus to be the fulfillment of the suffering servant in Isaiah 53. John understood Jesus to be the promised Messiah. But again, there were Jews who couldn't believe. And that's what verse 39 says. Therefore, they could not believe. Now, that's interesting language. Because again, it doesn't say they wouldn't believe. We're going to come to those folks in just a moment. But John said they couldn't believe. Well, why was it that they couldn't believe? Because they chose not to. They saw the signs, and again, not just a few, but they saw many, and they saw the ultimate sign of death, and then death coming to life. And they said, nope, I'm not going to do it. And as they continued not to believe, then God began hardening their hearts. And that's what Isaiah 6 says, or verse 40. He has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, lest they should see with their eyes, lest they should understand with their hearts, and turn so that I should heal them. And then notice verse 41, it's significant. John thinking back to Isaiah 6. And if you've ever been in church for any length of time, you're probably familiar with Isaiah 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, what did Isaiah say? I saw the Lord. Notice what John is saying about Isaiah 6 in verse 41. These things Isaiah said when he saw his glory and spoke of him. John is understanding that who Isaiah saw in Isaiah 6 was the pre-incarnate Christ. He saw Jesus before Jesus walked on the earth. He saw Jesus as the promised Messiah. Some Jews couldn't believe. But notice, secondly, some Jews wouldn't believe for long. Look at verse 42. Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him. There were some Jews who believed in him initially. They believed in him for a while. But they wouldn't believe in him ultimately. And they wouldn't believe in him for long. The text goes on. Many believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. They believed in Jesus initially, but I would suggest to you they didn't believe in Jesus ultimately. Now, certainly there are some exceptions to this. Joseph of Arimathea would be an exception to this. We understand that the pages of the New Testament seem to indicate that Joseph of Arimathea, who was one of these rulers, not only believed Jesus initially, but also believed Jesus ultimately. And it also seems that Nicodemus would be one who believed in Jesus initially and also believed in Jesus ultimately. But there were plenty who wouldn't believe for long. And why? Because they didn't want to be put out of the synagogue. Verse 43 offers us even more insight. For they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. They were more interested in the compliments of men than in the Christ who could save. Well, that ought to alarm us. And brothers and sisters, I would say to you this morning, that should cause us to examine our own lives. It reminds me of what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 13. And let me read these verses for us this morning. In Matthew 10, Jesus said, "Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven." You see, these Jews wouldn't believe for long. They believed initially, but they didn't believe ultimately. Why? Because they were afraid to confess Jesus before men. Brothers and sisters, in 2023, that is becoming harder to do every single day. To confess Jesus before men at work, to confess Jesus before men in the classroom, in the hallways, in the locker room. For some of you, it's even becoming harder to confess Jesus before your family. And I hate that. But may the Holy Spirit empower you the way He empowered these first century believers to declare that Jesus Christ is your Lord and your Savior, regardless of the earthly consequences. Some Jews couldn't believe. Some Jews wouldn't believe for long. Which then leads me to my question for you this morning. Will you believe? Look at verse 44. Then Jesus cried out and said, "He who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And he who sees me sees him who sent me." What does believing in Jesus mean? First of all, believing in Jesus means that Jesus is God. Do you understand that? You see, what Jesus is saying there in verses 44 and 45 is saying that there is someone who has sent me. There is someone that I am operating on their behalf. Well, who is that someone? God the Father. And so when you believe in Jesus, you are believing that Jesus is God. And if you say this morning, Brother Richard, "I don't believe in Jesus," then let me let you in on something. You don't believe in God. Let me take that back. You don't believe in the God of the Bible. You might believe in the God of your imagination. You might believe in the God that you created to make yourself feel better, but you don't believe in the God of the Bible. Because the God of the Bible is Jesus the Christ, God's Son. And to believe in Jesus is to believe that Jesus is God. Notice secondly, to believe in Jesus is to live a life of obedience. To believe in Jesus is to walk in the light, is what Jesus says, verse 46. "I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness." You see, living in obedience, walking in the light, is the proof, is the evidence that in fact you believe in Jesus. Did you hear that this morning, brothers and sisters in Christ? Are you walking in the light in your marriage? Are you living a life of obedience in your parenting? Are you living a life of obedience, students, in the classroom, in the hallways? Are you living a life of obedience, proving, demonstrating that you believe in Jesus at work, in your neighborhood? Because believing in Jesus is evidenced, is proved by walking in the light. And then thirdly, believing in Jesus means a pardon from judgment. Amen? A pardon from judgment. Jesus says in verse 47, "And if anyone hears me, my words, and does not believe, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I've spoken will judge him in the last day." So watch what Jesus says here. He says, "I didn't come to judge," and that is true. Jesus came to save. However, it's the teachings of Jesus and the claims of Jesus to be God is what judges us. And how will you respond to that? Inevitably, even though Jesus didn't come to judge, he came to save, there will be those who are judged when they choose not to believe. But if you do believe, guess what? You receive a pardon from judgment because Jesus Christ is the one who pays for your sin. And him paying for your sin and you believing in him as Lord and Savior, that means forgiveness of sins. That means a personal saving relationship with God. That means, in verse 50, everlasting life in heaven. And so that's the question this morning. Will you believe? If you're here this morning, and absolutely, positively, there are those here this morning, within the sound of my voice, you have not believed. I know you haven't. I've had the conversation with you. But today, will you believe? Will you put your faith and trust in Christ, Jesus, as Lord of your life? In just a few moments after I finish praying, we're going to give you an opportunity to respond publicly to God's Word. I'll be here at the front. Brother Ronnie will be here at the front. We'd love to celebrate with you. We'd love to counsel with you. We'd love to pray with you. Today, would you believe? In just a moment, step out of one of these aisles. Make your way here to the front. Let us rejoice with you. If you're a brother and sister in Christ and you have believed and that's your testimony and Jesus Christ is Lord of your life, that's your confession, are you walking in the light? Because that's the proof that you believe. Obedience to Jesus is the evidence that you have believed. Are you doing that? Are you walking in the light? This morning, our invitation will be for you after I finish praying. Will you believe? Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me? Father in heaven, thank you for this invitation that you have extended this morning from your word to everyone who has heard it. And my prayer, Lord, again, is that your Holy Spirit, even as I'm speaking now, is convicting of lostness, of those who are lost, drawing them unto you, and giving them the gift of faith to believe. Lord, give them boldness and courage to confess you before men as well. Father, for those who have put their faith and trust in Christ, give them boldness and courage to walk in the light, regardless of what that means in 2023. Father, thank you that Jesus Christ has come to be the Savior of the world. I pray this morning that we believe that. In Jesus' name we pray. Would you stand very quietly and very reverently to your feet? As Brother Chris comes to lead us, and Brother Ronnie and I are here at the front, would you respond today during our invitation? Will you believe?